everyone. Thank you all for making it here for Framley Day, as well as all of these baptisms. This is a very exciting day for us, and as you can tell, we need two services, right? So look forward to seeing you on September 11th at 9 or 11 a.m. Well, it's an exciting day in particular because this is our first Sunday baptism in this building. Yeah. Watch this. We have 12 people who are taking the step of baptism today. 12. Woo! 12 who are identifying with Christ's death and resurrection, following a practice of faith that began over 2,000 years ago, one that we read about in the Gospels, as well as the letters of the apostles. I was 7 years old when I was baptized at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Gum Springs, Virginia, by Pastor James Kears, who was affectionately known as Father K. Father K would end every sermon with a call to salvation. The church had pews back then and a center aisle. And he would walk down the center aisle and he would ask every Sunday something like this: does anyone hear Jesus calling their name to come home today? And as clear and compelling as a preacher Father K was, it was not his preaching that won me to Christ or awakened a desire in me to be baptized. The catalyst was my father, West Johnson. If you could see in that picture again, what you would not be able to see is that my parents separated when I was about 3 years old. But by the undeniable grace of God, they reconciled after my dad surrendered his life to Christ. My dad was also baptized by Father K, and in fact, the year before me. And in his life was a life change that was palatable. And it wasn't just for him, it was everyone in our entire family. When Wes Johnson was baptized, it was a reminder that the old West had gone and the new West had come. How many of you remember your baptism? How many of you remember, oh, I got a couple hands raised on that one. I wasn't expecting that. Eh? For those who were baptized as an infant, it may be a little difficult. If your family was the picture-taking kind, you might be able to look back on that image to sort of capture that event. But if you were baptized as an infant, your recollection may be a little fuzzy. For those who were older when they were baptized, say in their elementary or middle school or high school years, do you remember your baptism? It may be just as hazy as those who were baptized as infants. And you're fortunate enough to have a picture and maybe a little bit of a recollection of what the water felt like. Was it cold? Was it warm? Were you indoors in a church service like this, or were you out by a creek side? Regardless of the time in which we were baptized, for each of us, baptism plays a significant role in our spiritual journeys. It is a step of faith, but it is more than a placeholder on our spiritual timeline. It's more than a picture that you can look back on. It's more than a certificate that you can hold in hand. Baptism has a sacred meaning that is ordained by God. Today's message is remember your baptism. It's customary for us to stand for the reading of the word, as it is now, I guess. So would you please stand with me as we read the gospel, two short verses, in chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. You can all read this right along with me. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. People say, thanks be to God. Let it fill our minds, flow from our mouths, and free our hearts to live as the beloved children of God. You may take a seat. That word, baptize, comes from the Greek word baptizo. In the first century, that word for baptism literally meant this: to wash by plunging, soaking, or dipping. In the first century, if you came across a recipe for how to make pickles, it would read something like this: baptize your pickle in the vinegar. That word was about soaking. And it was a word that John the Baptist used as he was going around baptizing people into repentance before Jesus Christ came. That they were ceremonially washing themselves of their old life and being cleansed into a new life. Here's one thing to remember about baptism, is that it is a gift from God that reminds us of our true identity. Notice that Jesus, in this baptism, hasn't done much of anything. And if you would read the Gospels, all of them talk about Jesus' baptism. There isn't anything that Jesus does that is impressive. He hasn't healed anyone. He hasn't battled Satan in the wilderness and won the victory. He hasn't, obviously, been crucified or resurrected. And it might make sense to our human thinking that the father would be proud of his son after doing something miraculous. Something triumphant would then earn that statement. In you, I am well pleased. But baptism, beloved, is not a gift that is earned. It is a gift that is bestowed upon. It is a gift reminding you of who you truly are, that you are the son and daughter, child of God. You're not the person you pretend to be. You're not the person you wrestle with. You're not the person even that you're disappointed by. You, in the mind of God, are God's beloved. I imagine Jesus in these baptism waters hearing the voice of the Father crowd out all other voices to remind him of what is true about him, that he's the beloved Son of God, and that those words reverberated throughout his body, every part of his being, that even as he made his way to the cross, he was reminded, I am the Son of God. It doesn't say this in the Gospels, but every time you read that Jesus stole away to a quiet place to pray or to meditate, I believe Jesus was hearing these words again. You are my beloved son. It's not easy to hear the voice of belovedness in a world that is filled with voices that shout, work harder, Jenny. You're not good enough, Brian. You're not even good at all. You're ugly, you're worthless, and so on and so on. And these critical voices are so loud in our ears and in our souls and so persistent that they become easy to believe and even easy to accept. We trade a lie for a truth when they settle down into our hearts, these lies, these critics, and no amount of self-effort can overcome those voices, because those voices are never satisfied. They always ask for more. But the voice of the beloved doesn't ask. It gives, and it cancels those lies out. The Apostle John reaffirms the Father's voice in a letter to the church. He says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is who we are. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 reminds us that our identity as beloved children of God is foundational to our ongoing spiritual journey. There is no other, I argue, no other identity that shapes who you are more profound than you are the beloved child of God. Christians have used many metaphors and images to express what they believe happens in these baptism waters. There is rebirth. There's putting on Christ. There's being liberated from the chain of sin. There is dying with Christ. There is being grafted into Christ's body. There is receiving the Holy Spirit. And all of these images are an attempt to express a profound belief that through baptism, you receive the beginnings of real change in your position with Christ. Baptism creates a new and mysterious relationship with Jesus, who died for us and was raised by God to be the beginning of mankind's future. We then are joint heirs with Jesus, receiving the same gift of belovedness that was bestowed upon him at his baptism, on whom God's favor rests. One thing is for certain, Jesus' family and friends did not have a camera to take pictures that day. No matter what you Google, nobody really knows what it looked like on that day. There were no cell phones to record the video and post to social media accounts. All Jesus had was the voice of the Father and an image of the Holy Spirit descending like a dove upon him. The book of Genesis reminds us that Noah's flood story lasted for how long? 40 days, 40 nights, right? And after those 40 days and 40 nights, he sent a dove out to go see if there was any dry land. And on day one, the dove returned. And on day two, the dove returned. And on day three, the dove remained, a sign that there was dry land. The peace of God had come to Noah. The Gospel of Luke says that Mary and Joseph sacrificed two doves at the temple following the birth of Jesus based on Hebrew law, an atoning sacrifice for their purification. Could it be then that this dove that descends upon Jesus at his baptism is a foreshadow of the Prince of Peace who would die to take away the sins of the world, but return to life after 3 days being buried in the ground to say these words to the world? Beloved, you are free to live. I believe this vision of a dove is a reminder to us that the Holy Spirit is always with us, never to leave us, never to forsake us, and an ever-present help in the time of struggle. We're reminded that we are new creations, changed by the Holy Spirit. The old has gone. And how many of us know there will be times in our lives when we don't actually see that the old has gone, huh? There will be times in our lives when we can't hear it because something else is coming out of our mouths to remind us that the old ain't gone all the way. But that's not who we are. We are reminded that in our baptism, our true identity is that we are the beloved, changed children of God. And I pray that each of us who've been baptized would have that picture in their souls, not just in their hands. Because what might it mean for us to remember that our baptism means so much more than that picture, so much more than that certificate? During my senior year of college, I had some struggles. I was living this committed walk with Jesus, but it seemed like nothing was working out for me. Like, you know, I was like, Lord, I'm following you. I'm trusting you. So all of this stuff got to work out. You know, Lord, I desire a good, godly Christian woman. And y'all, I couldn't even buy a date. I tried to buy the date, and the date still said no. There was no buying of the date. I was a resident assistant, and my sophomore year, I was in the brand new flagship dorm, and by my senior year, they put me in the podunk dorm that wasn't even on campus. I mean, it's like, how did I get demoted? I was at the flagship dorm, and now you done put me out here to, I don't know, pastor? What? It's a wilderness, man, yeah. And on and on and on. I was like, maybe God's not hearing me. And I actually talked to my father. And a couple weeks later, my father sent me those two baptism pictures. Those two baptism pictures. We were both baptized by Father K. And on the back of the pictures, he said, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. / Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. Remember who you are and what is true about you. At my church in Atlanta, Georgia, there was a worship leader named LaShawn Pace, and LaShawn would sing at baptisms, "I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done signed my name. I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done sign my name. If you don't believe that I've been redeemed, the angels in heaven done sign my name. Just follow me down to that Jordan stream where the angels in heaven done sign my name. I've been changed. I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. Listen, I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done sign my name. I stepped in the water, and the water was cold. The angels in heaven done sign my name. It chilled my body, but it didn't chill my soul. I said, the angels in heaven done sign my name. When I get up to heaven, I'm gonna sing and shout where the angels in heaven done sign my name. And can't none of y'all in this room dare put me out where the angels in heaven done sign my name. If you know you've been changed, sing it. I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven done sign my name. Amen. Yeah, you can clap. It's all right. You're like, yeah, yeah. Do we clap? If you change, you ought to clap your hands.